بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم وكان فضله علينا عظيما، والصلاة والسلام على من جعله الله سبحانه وتعالى معلما وميسرا، سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديهم تسنى بسنتهم حتى تقوم الساعة. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A large number of people requested me to put some longer sessions here on YouTube as well as other mediums. Alhamdulillah. And you know, we have a responsibility to work together and assist one another. So I decided, alhamdulillah, based on some of the advice of many teachers years ago, to teach an introductory course on Usul al-Fiqh using the book Al-Waraqat of Sayyidina Imam Hujjat al-Islam wa Shaykh al-Islam Imam al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam al-Haramain. He's known as Imam al-Haramain because he traveled between Medina and Mecca for about 4 years, and he taught there. He's originally from Iran, Naysabur. And mashallah, mashallah, he is one of the mujaddids of Islam, as mentioned by Sayyidina Imam Suyuti, you know, Imam al-Dhahabi, and others. And his work, especially on theology and the science of kalam, was really at the forefront of repelling atheism, introduction of Greek philosophy, Mu'tazilites, and so on and so forth. Really, al-Jabariya, al-Qadariya, al-Batiniya, so many different groups. His father, and then, of course, his students, and one of his students was Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah. Imam al-Haramain dies around 472, if I remember correctly. Sayyidina Ghazali dies around 505, if I remember. But anyways, the text that we're going to go through is going to introduce three important things. Number one, what is an evidence? What constitutes an evidence? Number two, how to use an evidence in Islamic law. So the evidences of Islamic law, what are some of the rules and principles and guidelines around using those evidences, and then who is qualified to use those evidences. And of course, this is the definition given by Al-Qadi Al-Baydawi in Al-Minhaj when he said that أُصُولُ فِقْهُ مَعْرِفَةُ دَلَائِ الْفِقْهِ إِجْمَالًا, right, is to know the fiqhi evidences in a general way, وَكَيْفِيَةِ اسْتِفَادَةِ مِنْهَا, and how to use those evidences, وَحَالُ الْمُسْتَفِدِ, and then who qualifies. And the reason that this science is really important is that it goes below the surface. What we tend to see now in this age is Muslims are educated when it comes to dalil, but uneducated when it comes to the necessary principles and rules for interpreting and understanding the evidences, the dalil. And you know, one of my teachers used to say, Fatah Hijazi, Sheikh, mashallah, Doctor, yani, إِذَا اسْتَقَمَّتْ المبنى ظاهرت المعنى, right? That the science of usul al-fiqh is a science really about laying your foundations and making you a much more mature and nuanced Muslim in your thoughts and your engagements with others. So the Shaykh used to say, إِذَا اسْتَقَامَتِ الْمَبْنَى ظَاهَرَتِ الْمَعْنَى. You know that if the foundations are strong, then the sound meanings are going to like flourish. You're going to see the meanings of those foundations like fruit. It's like a very beautiful expression. They're going to blossom. They're going to oxygenate a polluted ummah. Allahu Akbar. So usul al-fiqh really is the science of the, what we say, islah of the ummah, reform of the ummah intellectually. And then this is going to have an impact on the unity of the ummah, which is one of the fruits of having a correct understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءَ فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. You were enemies and we made you brothers. Now we see people study Islam and they were كانوا إخوانًا, they were brothers and sisters, and then after they learned, صَارُوا أَعْدَاءً, they became enemies. And they actually are the opposite of the verse رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, that the Muslims should be merciful to one another. They are actually harsh and extremely uncouth would be the word in their engagements with one another. And that's why, subhanAllah, we say lil usul thamaratuha, that who understands usul al-fiqh, there's fruit. They will bring, inshallah, good to the ummah. So most of the time, what we see is people arguing over evidences without understanding how those evidences were, the conclusion on those evidences was reached. And therefore, they're fighting over issues which they shouldn't be fighting over. Issues of fiqh, if presented by qualified scholarship, should not lead us to divisions. As Sayyidina Imam al-Shafi'i said, "Inna al-masa'ila al-ijtihadiyya la tunkaru bil-yad," right? That the issues of ijtihad should not be refuted with the hand, meaning that's not munkar. As the Prophet said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyiru biyadihi." If someone sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. Now we see people trying to change issues of fiqh, issues of ijtihad, which they don't have to. But then we neglect the foundation. So إِذَا اسْتَقَمَّتِ الْمَبْنَةُ ظَاهَرَتْ الْمَعْنَى. Subhanallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يسهل لنا هذا الأمر فهو موجه إلى الخير يا ربنا يا ربنا اهدنا إلى ما يرضاك اللهم ثبتنا على الحق وارزقنا بالتوفيق والسداد يا رب العالمين. قال الشيخ رحمه الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين هذه ورقات. سيدنا إمام الحرمين he begins this text and he says هذه ورقات. These ورقات is what's called جمع القلة. جمع القلة, and جمع قلة is used when you want to show that something, you know, is consisting of, you know, just a few things. Jam'u, the plural qilla, a small plural. Like if you literally wanted to translate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, in Surah Al-Baqarah, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِن قَبَلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting has been prescribed for you as it was those before you, so you will become the people of taqwa. What is fasting? أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً. Just a few days. أيام معدودات, يعني just a few days, just a few days. So فوصف سبحانه وتعالى الشهر الكامل بأيام معدودات. يا الله, Allah سبحانه وتعالى describes this month as just a few days. Why? Because the Sahaba, and here we learn something very important about looking after the emotional and psychological needs of people who we are calling to good and forbidding evil from. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands the Sahaba when they heard كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الصِّيَامُ. What siyam? You know, I remember when I first converted and the brother told me you have to fast for 30 days. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, it can be a little intimidating. So Allah says, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً. Just a few days. This is called جَمْعُ قِلَّةً. So the Shaykh also, he says, هَذِهِ وَرَقَاتْ. This could be out of his humility. You know, ma qaddamtu illa hadhihi al-waraqat. You know, I didn't really do anything except just these few pages. And also tashji'an li talib al-ilm wa tasheelan lahu al-muqaddimah. And here we learn the philosophy of Islamic studies and teaching people that the Shaykh begins this way to facilitate for the student the entry, because they say dukhulu fil ilm sa'bun. Right? Entering into any knowledge is difficult. Wa khuruju anhu sahl. And, you know, exiting it, alhamdulillah, is easy. But the initial entry point, that's why we'll talk about abwab, the different doors we enter, can always come with a little trepidation. So here we see, mashallah, a number of adab. And this is the beauty of the Islamic tradition. Like the Western Academy, for the most part, and other academies, and even now, unfortunately, in some of the Muslim institutions, where you do not divorce academic qualifications from adab and etiquette. So mashallah, Shaykh yajma'a bayna al-ithneen. We say, well, jam'u wajibun ma amkana. Fajamma'a bayna itqan fil ilm wa husn al-khuluq. That he joins together in one word, waraqat, humility, concern for the student, with also erudition and knowledge, mashallah. Faqala hadhihi waraqatun tashtamilu. The word tashtamil means to contain, right? Encapsulate, right? Tashtamilu from shumul, right? To be comprehensive. So the idea here is that is has captured. Faslun min usuli fiqh. Aw fusul min usuli fiqh. That these small pieces of paper are going to address specific chapters related to the science of usul al-fiqh. Then he continues and he says, وَذَارِكَ أَيْ أُصُولُ فِقْهِ. And he uses ذَارِك لِيُفِيدُ التَّعْظِيمِ. The word ذَارِك in the middle of it is, it's actually ذَاك. But the lam is brought here to show something is far away from you. So ذَاكَ صُهَيْبٌ أو ذَاكَ شَخْصٌ, as mentioned by Sayyidina Imam Ibn Malik. So here he says ذَالِكَ, that lam تُفِيدُ الْبُعْد كَمَا قَالَ Sayyidina Imam Al-Razi. And as I heard from my teacher, alhamdulillah, I was able to really, in my life, alhamdulillah, to study, alhamdulillah, this subject with some really, really incredible, wonderful people, mashallah. In knowledge and in character, mashallah. Sheikh Salahuddin Zaidan, mashallah. Sheikh Salah Sultan, alhamdulillah. Sheikh Dr. Mahmoud, Dr. Abdus Salam, some of the scholars, Sheikh Hilali and others, Dr. Muhammad Wissam, alhamdulillah, hawla nas yani ajillah. But great teachers don't make great students, right? So alhamdulillah, I'm with you as we struggle together to learn and study, but mashallah, I hope I'm able to share their notes and represent what I heard from them correctly, inshallah. But subhanallah, he says, وَذَٰلِكَ أَيْ أُصُولُ فِقْهِ. So like when you hold the Qur'an, right? It's in front of you, ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. But the feeling is, this is something amazing. You could not have achieved this with yourself. إِدْرَاكُهُ صَعَبْ إِلَّا أَنْ وَهَّبَكَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَطُطْفِهِ إِلَى هَذَا الْعِلْمِ. You would not have been able to achieve this unless Allah had blessed you. So here also is a reminder, وَذَٰلِكَ هَذَا عِلْمِ عِلْمَ عَظِيمٍ, that this is a great knowledge, man. And I'll be honest with you, in my history, studying almost now over 20 years, I could find people to teach me Qur'an, qira'at, tajweed, hadith, language, fiqh, tasawwuf, khat. But to find a person to teach usul al-fiqh was the most difficult. وَذَٰلِكَ أَيْ أُصُولُ فِقْهِ مُؤَلَّفٌ مِّن جُزْئَيْنِ مُفْرَدَيْنِ. I'm going to try to make this as easy as I can. Because I plan to teach this to you in multiple texts. So right now, I just want to give you the scaffolding of the science, and then slowly we'll build on it, inshallah ta'ala. But when he says مُؤَلَّفٌ مِّن جُزْئَيْنِ مُفْرَدَيْنِ, this is related also to the study of mantiq, logic, and language, mufrad. But I'm going to make it easy for you. But I want you to remember this, that this style, مُؤَلَّف مِن جُزْئَيْن, مُفْرَدَيْن, this style is related to logic and related to the science of language, because usul al-fiqh is made up of these different sciences, mashallah. But what he's trying to say is that the term is made up of two words. It's a compound word. وَذَٰلِكَ مُؤَلَّفٌ أي مُرَكَّبٌ مِن جُزْئَيْن, مُفْرَدَيْن, right? Two separate words that each are a part of a broader whole. So here you can see the idea of particulars, the idea of language, and the idea of bringing these particulars together into concert. So now, if you think about that, especially if you're a lawyer, mashallah, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I know what this is talking about. So what he's going to do now is introduce usul al-fiqh in two ways. The first way is what's called ta'rif idafi. Ta'rif idafi means that he's going to take each mufrad, each word, and define it, and then he's going to bring them together into one meaning. So what's the mufrad? The first is usul, the second is fiqh. So foundations, fiqh. So he's going to bring them both together, define each of them separately, and then bring them back together again to give you what's called ta'rif idafi. Nobody does this actually in this age now, for the most part. This is something that was done by the scholars of old. So he says, rahimahullah, فَالْأَصْلُ مَا يُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ غَيْرُ. An asl is something which other things are based on. So we say, for example, the قَوَاعِدْ أَصْلُ الدَّارِ, that the foundations are the foundations of the home are the usul of the house, the usul of the dar, the usul of the bayt, because everything is constructed from it. That's like a very simple example. Na'am. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمَشْهُورَ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. Yani this definition, although there's like some disagreement about it, مَا مُنْشِئُ شَيْءٍ, you know, what brings out other things, and so on and so forth, this doesn't concern us now. So just remember this. الْأَصْلُ مَا يُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ غَيْرُ. Usul is the plural. Remember that. It's not أَصْلُ فِقْ, it's أُصُولُ فِقْ. And I heard this, mashallah, from one of the great, great teachers of Usul al-Fiqh years ago when I was studying Lubul Usul of Sheikh Zakaria al-Ansari. فَالْأَصْلُ مَا يُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ غَيْرُ. Some said, الْأَصْلُ مَا مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. You know, the أصل is what things come from. Yeah, these kind of disagreements right now are not really going to animate the discussion, except one thing that you'll appreciate from Usul al-Fiqh is the degree of erudition and focus of the scholars. For example, al-aslu huwa al-muhtaju minhu. Al-aslu is what other things need. So there is a challenge in a post-colonial community that is still trying to emancipate itself from the shackles of colonialism and white supremacy and Eurocentricism, is this accepted notion that Islamic scholarship is sloppy and stupid. This is one of the great fitnas of this era. Whereas, as you study this with me, you're going to be like, wow. For example, so when I was in Al-Azhar, we spent 2 weeks on the word asl. Usul al-Fiqh is a class that we took 4 times a week, 2 texts, an old and new text, for 4 years. So, dharika, this is something awesome, and you're going to need to be patient. If people can take notes in the comments box, it's going to help me. Things that need to be translated, if you can help work with me in the comments box, is going to be super beneficial. And then I will also engage you. And we have other scholars that we can invite also to correct me and guide you also, inshallah. So, al-aslu huwa al-muhtaju minhu. Ma huwa al-muhtaju minhu? What something else needs? فَإِنَّ الشَّجَرَةَ مُحْتَاجَةٌ إِلَى ثَمَرَةٌ. Because in order for there to be a fruit, you need, right, the shajara. So that's why I said earlier about the fruit of the ummah. He's assigned istiqamat al-mabna, zaharat al-ma'na. Right? One of the signs that we're where we are is we don't have foundational knowledge. We have shallow knowledge, which leads to shallow arguments, which leads to ratchet disagreements in great destruction. Then he says, as we finish this first lesson, وَالْفَرْعُ مَا بُنِيَ عَلَيْهِ غَيْرُ. So after defining usul, the foundation, now he's going to define the branch. This is very important in our epistemology, as you'll see as we move in this subject, in Aqidah, and other subjects as well. وَالْفَرْعُ مَا بُنِيَ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ. So the branch, or the secondary issue, is what's built on something else. So the asl is what the far is built on. So the far, the branch, or the secondary issue, is the fruit. The asl is the tree. Okay? So alhamdulillah, today we started a brief introduction into Usul al-Fiqh, alhamdulillah, and that's going to be animated more. We begin by talking briefly about Sayyidina Imam al-Haramain al-Juwayni al-Mujaddid al-Alama, Shaykh al-Islam. And then we went into talking about his introduction, هذه ورقات تشتمل على معرفة فصول من أصول الفقه من علم أصول. And then we talked about how classical scholars would introduce a topic using two means. Number one is ta'rif laqabi, usul, fiqh. And that's where we are now. We are breaking down the word usul, asl is a singular, and fiqh, insha'Allah. And we haven't got to fiqh yet, because after defining asl, he went into what's called fara. So he defined the foundation, because they say, you know, in Islamic studies, knowing the opposite of something helps you know it. Subhanallah. So knowing its opposite helps you understand it, a tasawwur. And this again touches on one of the important ethos of Islamic education and the philosophy of Islamic instruction, is to help the student fully conceptualize the subject. So Imam al-Haramain defines al-asl, then he defines its opposite so that you see it like in a 360 way, you see it in 3D. وَالْأَصْلُ مَا يُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ غَيْرُ وَالْفَرْءُ مَا يُبْنَى عَلَى غَيْرِهِ. And next time, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to pick up his definition of fiqh, and then we'll bring them together. And then in our third class, we'll move on to the other methodology of introducing and defining a subject, which is called ta'rif laqabi. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khairan wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.